Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's been a fun day. Years ago, I used to do chapel. When we started Rock Mass, I would come to Rock Mass and we would do ministry. We would do prayer for people, move in the gifts, prophetic words, words of knowledge, that kind of thing. But I haven't done it for years, schedule-wise, different stuff. And I really had it in my heart for about a year now to try to jump back in there and do that when I'm in town, when I can. And so today was my first experience to get to do that. And I have a real passion for our school. I want our school to be the most excellent school it can possibly be educationally, but I want them to encounter God. I want them to know transformation in their lives. And the school to also be a place where you experience and learn to manifest the fullness of Christ. That's what we are about. So it was fun this morning. It was also fun to get this for the first time since I've been able to do it at school, to have some of the students stand up who've learned how to steward the things of the Spirit, ministering words of knowledge and prophetic words to their fellow students. It's really cool. So it's been a good day. Once in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament, in Romans and Hebrews, it says the very simple thing that the just shall live by faith. Believers, or those who belong to God, those who are right before Him in His eyes, the just, they live by faith. And therefore, the most important thing in the world that Christians can learn is how to walk in faith. Because if that's how we live the Christian life, the Scripture says things like, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, but you can't do that if you're not living by faith. It's what you do with the words that God speaks is you live by faith. And so the question would be, it's like, how do you do that? How do we increase faith? You might go, well, what about Romans 10? It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what about the millions, the vast majority of Christians throughout church history who couldn't read or write? They couldn't get along with their leather-bound, or if they were really poor, bonded leather-bound Bible and get a word in their quiet time. How in the world do, what does that mean? It can't just mean that. And one of the most important things you'll ever learn is that you don't grow in faith by trying to grow in faith. It just becomes another form of introspection, of self-centeredness. The only way you grow in faith is by getting your eyes off of yourself and getting your eyes on the one who's faithful. Then you grow in faith. This is Hebrews chapter 12, and this, I believe, has a dual meaning. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Now, how in the world do you do all that? Like, how do you lay aside every encumbrance, all the anxieties and the worries and the stuff that bombard us, the sin, maybe that particular sin that gets you all the time? How do you run with endurance? He says this, by fixing our eyes on Jesus, or looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, one of the things that that means is that if you observe the life of Christ, that Christ lived his life by faith. Even though he was God, he laid down his right to live as God, and he lived as a man by faith. And so Christ is the perfect example of a person living their life by faith. But again, what if you don't have access to, or many of the friends that we have in Africa can't read or write? Some of the godliest people I know can't read or write, so they can't just go read the Gospels and then study the life of Christ. So it's got to be mean more than just that. I mean, it does mean that, but I think it also means that you're in union with Christ. You're one with Him. The Scripture says, he who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. You're one with Him. And when He says that we're to run the race with endurance, laying aside the sin, all the encumbrances, we do that by fixing our eyes or looking on Him, gazing on Him, who's the author and the perfecter of faith. And his example of the joy set before him, he endured. He just told us to endure, run the race with endurance, but we have someone that we're in union with who's already proven that he has endurance. And he endures with joy. The word endure comes from two simple words, to remain under. But if you remain under pressure or under circumstance, and yet your attitude is one of grumbling and grouching and complaining the whole time, that's not biblical endurance. That's just quiet rebellion that sometimes will come out not so quiet by looks, attitudes, and words. That's that whole thing about being told to stand up. being told to sit down. You don't want to sit down, so you sit down, but on the inside you're standing up. He says, laying aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance. He says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured. Same word, the cross. But how did he endure the cross? What was his attitude like while he was enduring the cross? Joy. Because he was the author and perfecter of faith. And faith looks like joy under endurance. Rejoy when you're remaining under. And when we, to grow in faith, you're in union with one who's the author and the perfecter of faith. And as we look to him, he perfects our faith. What do I mean by that? He just simply, we've talked about this before, we enter into his faith. For him to be faithful means that we're trusting in his faith, which he's full of, for this situation. It says in 2 Timothy, even when we believe not, he abides faithful. So the pressure's off of me to believe, and the pressure's simply to rest in the one who does believe. Well, that's what faith is. In Romans, when it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, like in one verse it says, put on the armor of light, then it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word put on there literally means sink into. That's how you grow in faith. You just sink into Christ. You're in union with him. Just sink into him. Fix your eyes on him. Who's got faith for this? Who's faithful for this? And then you can go your way in joy, because the burden's on him, the author and the perfecter of faith, not on you getting faith perfect. He already knows how to do that. Again, that's why he was able to say in John 16, in this world, you're going to have nonsense. But be of good cheer. He said, peace give unto you. Even though in this world, you're going to have nonsense, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. He's done it once. He can do it again in union with you. Just sink into that. That's how you grow in faith. Not by trying to get more faith, but by remembering that you're one with him and just looking to him. Get your eyes off of you and off of your faith and onto him. And then you'll find yourself walking in great faith, because he has great faith. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.